Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendrick Show. We've been trying here on Phil TV and HD this evening to get a variety of shots. We've got pictures coming from our news gathering televisions here, our TVs, and then we have some shots, some green screen shots, some slide shots, just all kinds of artsy things. So we're doing kind of an artsy thing, right?
Yeah, we're trying to do an artsy thing, but also look at a hurricane.
Yeah, we're trying to get the hurricane news. And to that extent, we had Bob Bakian, and actually, I tell you who we had. We had Bob Bakian is going to be with us a little bit later on. What? See, I'm going to show people this. Would you please put that on? Look at this. The televisions that we have here, thanks to Time Warner Cable, this is the kind of service you get when you don't necessarily have a commercial line. And the reason why we don't have a commercial line, believe it or not, even though we're in a business area, is because Time Warner Cable does not yet feed this particular area with a business commercial service. And that's pretty whack, you know? Pretty whack. So don't tell me, Time Warner Cable, with all of the money that you people have, with all of the infrastructure, with all of the possibility and capability that you have in this new media age that we live in, the fact that you guys are still scratching your asses and sitting around and taking the wax paper off of your ham sandwiches to see what mama made you, and you're not out here doing some work. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I was talking about in the pre-show. Nobody wants to do any work anymore. Get out here and get some lines. Look at that. You see that lousy crap can service that we get? Cutting in and out. Now, it doesn't happen every night, but it happens just often enough if something isn't this, that, or something else. Balanced line, you know what. Boom, boom, beam, bing. And I don't know. There's no excuse for it. I don't care. People talk about Buy American. This is what I'm getting for Buy an American. I only wish the Japanese provided cable service. I only wish the Chinese. I only wish that the Koreans did, or the Russians. Anybody other than Time Warner Cable. How about that? If only you guys would just provide a service that was a reasonable expected service. And all I'm asking for is, because we're in a commercial district here, yes, it's at the beach, so there are businesses that operate close to the ocean, and one would think that you guys would want to have business out here. You'd really want to get established out here because, you know, people like living out here as well as doing business out here. And we would like to have a commercial service available to us as well because we are a commercial enterprise. Now, that's a lot of big words and a lot of probably pretty weird concepts to grab and sort of, you know, ingest. Big TW, but if I see one more of your commercials on television telling about more is better or more better or whatever that boring, I'm going to put a freaking brick through my television next time I see that. Better's more. More is better. What is that?
Yeah, Gago's more better.
More better. What? I don't. Me no sprechen the Deutsch, okay? Speak a little English, baby. All right, so what we had here before we left, and I apologize, Dr. Sadler, I know you were put out with that, but we had to go to commercial break, is Dr. Jim Sadler. We also have Chris Norton on the line with us as we talk about the outbreak, the epidemic of venereal disease, which is happening in parts of the porn or the adult film business. And so that's really what we're discussing here. On the line with me is Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, how are you doing? Yes, that's the shot that I wanted, bud.
Yeah, you want one there of the thing.
I'm doing good, Phil.
Yes, Dr. Sadler, good to talk with you.
You want that one, right?
Yeah, I want that one, if you can just move it down.
I'm doing good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, Doc. Hold on for a minute. Just move it down a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Sadler. I'm talking to...
I know you're talking to a million other people, but I had a point that I wanted to make, and I had to sit on it through the news, and it's a... it's an important point that I think your audience wants to hear, or would want to hear.
I understand that. I just wanted to make sure that I had the right coverage here in terms of our camera 3.
I don't know from camera 3, and I forgive me for saying this, but I don't care.
You know, Phil, this is Chris Norton. I think I know what he's going to talk about.
Yes, you do know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about, as you asked me, Mr. Henry, to talk about you wanted me to talk about how I know Mr. Norton.
Can I just say one thing, Doc?
Go ahead.
I would hope that you'd be delicate in how you portray it, because the cess, you know, it was, speaking of commercial, it's commercial cess.
No, I know it was commercial sex. I know it was. Mr. Norton and my wife engaged in a sex scene for an adult film. My wife, Tammy, was an adult film performer.
Right, and it was commercial sex. I mean, it was intense sex. There's no, and I think that's probably what you're worried about, right?
No, I'm not worried about that. And no, I never heard that it was intense. And that only makes me angrier.
Boy, we're getting my audience has got to have to process this. You're telling me that your wife and Mr. Norton were involved in, both of them were involved in the adult film business.
No, I'm not telling you anything about Mr. Norton because you know that Mr. Norton is an adult film performer part-time. I'm telling you about my wife, Tammy, and the fact that she had a sex scene with Mr. Norton. All right, but that's not the end of the story.
No. But I didn't mean to say that we had intense sex. I'm just saying that there was a sexuality between us.
I don't care, you know.
Well, all right, I don't want this to dissolve into something, okay?
No, it's not going to dissolve into anything. I'm trying to spit out what I want to say so I can move on, because I had to sit on this for your entire break that you did there. That's why I was upset, because I wanted to say this. I wanted it to become public knowledge.
It was commercial sex.
Yes, I understand. Can I finish what I'm saying?
Let him finish, Mr. Norton.
All right, okay, fine.
My wife was in the adult film business as a performer. When we met, she then gave up because I gave up being an adult performer because I provide for her very well, and she didn't need to do that anymore. And someone just turned the radio on.
Sorry, I just want to get the sports.
Sir, can you turn the radio off?
Get the sports.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to hear what the baseball. I'll turn it off. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I think we need to do that, Mr. Norton, because then we can concentrate on what we are saying to each other, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, what's that?
It's cops, but my wife's watching it. I'm not watching it, all right?
Well, I find that distracting, you know.
Can we just maybe pot that down a little bit?
Tammy?
What?
Can you turn that down?
Can you say hi to her for me, or is that...
No, I'm not going to say hi. Yeah, Tammy, Chris Norton says hi.
Hi, Tim.
Her cheeks sound filled out or something.
What cheeks?
Well, it's just from the last time I knew her, it sounds like there's a largeness in her face.
She's put some weight on. Is that what you're referring to?
Hey, Chris, how are you? Love you.
Would you get back to watching television? Yeah, she's a little disappointing, yeah.
All right, well, better you. I shouldn't say that. I was going to say better you than me.
She's only put the weight on recently. Mr. Henry, can I finish?
Yes, would you please?
Well, I mean, I didn't know that I was going to be spoken to like that.
I'm going to speak to you like that until we get this thing moving along. It is taking forever. Now, what is the story between you and your wife and Mr. Norton?
There is no... You just made it sound like it was a three-way.
There's no three-way there. You know?
I'm sorry. The story between your wife and Mr. Norton.
My wife was an adult film performer. She went to the set one day when we were engaged to do a final scene with Mr. Norton. When my wife returned that evening, she had a full syphilis infection. And Mr. Norton came to me the next day and said, I know you're not a medical doctor, but have you got something for the drip? Knowing that...
Did you say it that way, sir?
He certainly did.
I said, no, I said to you, I said, I know you're not a medical doctor, and I'll use just a regular term since you're not a medical doctor. I said, have you got nothing for the no drip?
Well, have you got nothing for no drip?
That basically means, do you have something for a drip?
And I said, yeah, I got something for a drip, and I'm looking at one, didn't I? Didn't I say that?
Oh, you said you thought about it later, but you didn't really get it out.
Well, no, okay. the point that I'm making, Mr. Henry, is that he infected my wife and then had the gall to come into my office the next day and say, don't you have nothing for no drip? And
He was saying he had an STD?
Yes, he was saying he had an STD and he wanted treatment for it. I was offended. I told him to get out or I would pick him up and I would throw him out. And as you know, I'm a weightlifter and I can do that.
A lot of your muscles look artificial, like they're roid.
My muscles are not roid. They're not roid-driven, okay?
Yeah, but I think there's roid rage going on there. You know, when you went home and you beat your wife.
I didn't beat my wife. I went home and I slapped her once. Wouldn't you? Mr. Henry, you there?
Yes, did you hit your wife?
Mr. Henry, I'm asking you, wouldn't you slap your wife if you found out she had the drip?
I had the drip. She was the recipient of the drip.
She was the recipient of the drip. She had it, too.
You let your wife work in the adult film business, correct?
Yes, sir, but I didn't know she'd come home. I didn't know she'd engage in a sex scene with a guy. What this guy had, he had the drip.
Well, I don't know the culpability of the performers themselves, if there's a level of trust, if there's a testing. I don't know how that all works, but you smacked your wife?
He came home with it.
He thinks it's okay to smack her if she goes on a drip, you know, but, I mean, I gave it to her.
Yeah, and I should. So you're saying no?
I'm saying absolutely no. Absolutely no. We have to take a break. It's 12. We got to take a break. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, talking here about this epidemic of syphilis in the adult film industry in Hollywood with Chris Norton and Dr. Jim Sadler. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I didn't slap her. I didn't slap her.
We're crying.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Of course, we're in our news and information hour, so we're not, we haven't really taken any phone calls tonight, have we, bud?
No, not really, because most of the people are douchebags anyway.
Don't say that on the air, man. You can wait till we get off the air.
Man, I told you.
Wait till we get off the air.
Well, I mean, most of the people are douchebags anyway.
That's great. That really encourages people to call, huh?
Well.
No, not well, nothing. Thank you, Dr. Jim Sadler and Chris Norton. And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I had no idea that I thought we were going to talk more extensively about this problem in the porn industry. But apparently these two guys have some unfinished business. Dr. Sadler's wife used to be a performer in the porn business or the porn film business, and she was infected with an STD by Chris Norton, who then came to Dr. Sadler the next day and said, "Haven't you got nothing for no drip?" And that was the end of that, and I don't know what else, and I don't really want to know what else. And I don't really care. I do, but I don't. It's a very bizarre hazard to be working around. The adult film business is one that is foreign to just about everybody. It's a very select group of people that work in that business, and it is a very broad range of people, obviously, that watch or consume that kind of entertainment. But the people that actually work in that business, it's very specific work, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I don't know how many people are in it. Yeah, it's bitching. There's fewer of them than there is doctors.
That's not a bad. I bet there are fewer adult film performers than there are doctors, which means that their services, theoretically, not necessarily are going to be worth more than a doctor's, but depending upon the market for the product that they sell, they're going to be handsomely, or should be handsomely compensated, unless, of course, it's run by the mafia.
Hey.
Thank you. Now, I shouldn't say that, because I have no information, and that's probably an old wives' tale or whatever the hell you want to call it. All right, But I hope you guys, if you'll pardon the expression, clean up your act soon. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, getting back here to the Republican convention, it is underway in Tampa. There were comments made that were a bit untoward. One from Ellen Barkin saying that the these Republicans ought to get washed out to sea, and then one this evening from one of our listeners, Mr. Gene DiCarta, who said that he felt Anderson Cooper, he hoped Anderson Cooper would get hit on the head with a flying stop sign in the middle of that hurricane. So obviously there are some feelings running rather high on both sides. Is this particular convention, the Republican National Convention, anything worth watching? Is it exciting? Is it thrilling? The answer, of course, is no. And I'm not saying that as a knock. I'm not saying that to mean that Republicans are not worth supporting. I'm just saying that the conventions, especially this year, are really going to suck. And generally, they're exciting and fun to watch because there are those floor fights. There's fights over the philosophical direction of the party. There are fights over this plank or that plank in the platform. You know, there are feelings can run very high, especially when one party feels that they're about to lose their grip on the power, or if another party feels threatened in another way. So they can be interesting, and we've seen them, haven't we? But this year, it's a real snoozeroo, baby. Mitt Romney, a former governor of Massachusetts who has aspired to reach the White House since his father first sought the office four decades ago, George Romney, was nominated by the Republican Party here on Tuesday as its choice to become the 45th president of the United States. The elevation of Mr. Romney at the Republican National Convention completed his six-year quest to navigate the contours of a changing party and opened a well-choreographed effort led by his wife, Anne, to swiftly reintroduce him to Americans in the hope of gaining the trust of voters and bolstering his campaign to defeat President Obama. Mr. Romney swept into the convention from backstage after watching his wife deliver a deeply personal speech that made a direct appeal to female voters, whom she reassured, "You can trust Mitt."
I don't know, man.
Well, he had, by the way, "You can trust Mitt." I'm sure you can trust Mitt, and I'm sure that, but there's a lot of headlines that are not exactly, you know, helping Republicans these days. One of them was one that was sent to me recently, as recently as last night. I don't really get all of these messages all that quickly because mine is not what one would call a news-breaking kind of a radio show. But I did get a message from a friend of mine here, and it was of a news story, and the headline is as follows. New law in Arizona states pregnancy begins before conception. New law in Arizona states pregnancy begins 2 weeks before conception.
What?
Hold on. A new law was signed by Arizona Governor Jan Brewer and went into effect on Thursday that has abortion advocates up in arms. Went into effect on Thursday? Last Thursday, then.
Well, no, that's tomorrow.
No, it ain't tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. It must have been last Thursday. A new law went into effect in Arizona and went into effect on Thursday that has abortion advocates up in arms. The new law, titled Women's Health and Safety Act, deems a woman pregnant 2 weeks before conception. According to Planned Parenthood in Arizona lobbyist Michelle Steinberg, the law will reduce the amount of time a legal abortion can be obtained by women. Steinberg stated that the law is our nation's most extreme piece of anti-abortion legislation. What this really is they're starting a woman's pregnancy from her last menstrual, the last day or the first day of the, it calculates gestational age starting with the first day of the last menstrual period rather than the date of conception. So when they're calculating how many weeks have you been pregnant,
what are you looking at me for? Yeah, he wants to know when you was pregnant. Shut up, man.
Hey, I'm just looking at you. I'm thinking, okay? Looking at you. So what they're doing is when you go for an abortion, and it's critical, as you know, the trimester that a woman is in, depending upon each, you know, depending upon what the time frame is, depending upon the law and so on and so forth, you know, which, you know, first trimester abortion as opposed to second, as opposed to what the legal parameters are for third, they're going to include in your gestational period all of that leading up to conception, from the first day of your last menstrual period.
I don't understand.
Well, that's good that you said that, Bud, because most Americans won't understand. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of people won't understand. Guys like you, Bud, won't understand. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show.
I don't understand.
I know.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News Talk and Entertainment show knows what to talk about. Sorry, I just raced right through that. You know, it's...
Now, sometimes you just got to do that, man, like everybody knows.
Yeah, everyone kind of knows the watchwords and catchphrases of our show. It is a News Talk and Information show that knows what it's talking about. We do. We know what we're talking about. We may not be saying anything you agree with, but believe me when I tell you, I know what the hell it is I'm talking about. And what am I talking about? What I'm talking about.
Yeah, and you know about it.
And I know about it. Now, somebody may come along and say, you're full of crap. And I'll say, God bless you, sir. And that's kind of the way it is. But I can tell you that this is what I am. What the hell am I? Never forget I even brought it up. Now, I was talking early on, in point of fact, I was talking during our pre-show, the one part of the show that is not on the air, it's actually on our video cast, and David G. Hall called and was ripping me a new ass for some of the stuff that I was saying on the pre-show, which I won't go into here because it was quite pointed and very honest. But I also was pointing out to the audience, and I thought you guys might find this interesting, because we have a... You know, we have a frame of mind about news. News, 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 news. To me, that's where it's at, man. I mean, not what's being reported. What's being reported, it can vary. And the best reporter these days with the internet and everything else is really you. You know, you and me. We can go to the internet and we can go to a variety of sources and we can find the news a hell of a lot faster and a lot clearer and a lot better than somebody's, to use a word that they used to use in the 40s, than somebody's monkeys, you know.
Yeah, you gotta watch out. It could be like racism.
That's not racism.
That's not. I'm saying it the way the old guys used to. Look at these monkeys. They could be talking about a white guy or a black guy.
Yeah, I know, but you just never know.
I never know what?
If you're being racist.
I never know if I'm being racist?
He knows if he's being racist.
Now, why don't you shut up? I'm talking to Phil.
Hold on, bud. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, man. You know, if you say all them monkeys, you know, are you being racist?
No, I'm not being racist. How many times do I got to tell you?
All right.
But I never, the part of what you just said there I didn't get is I'll never know.
Well, I don't know. You may forget or something.
I may forget. No, Robert. I'm totally clear that what I'm saying is the term monkey to me is very funny, and it can mean a white guy as well as a black guy. You know, the first time I ever heard that used in a colloquial way, in a non-racial way, was in a Laurel and Hardy movie.
Are they black?
Are they black?
Shut up, will you? No, they're not black.
All right.
And it was a Laurel and Hardy movie, and they were pushing a piano up some steps, and a cop came by, because one of them had just kicked some chick in the rear end, and the cop came by, and he yelled up, I want you monkeys to come down here.
Oh, he was talking to the two white guys?
Yes.
Yes, you don't used to talk that way about anybody.
In fact, the line was, he says, tell that guy to come down here. And he says, that guy wants you. And he says, not you, the other monkey. And that's when Stan says, he says he doesn't want me. He wants the other monkey, meaning the big guy.
Fat guy.
Yeah, the big fat guy, Oliver. That was the first time I ever heard that term used in a, if you will, a colloquially populist or popular way. Anyway, I am digressing. So, this evening, and I did this during the pre-show, and if you'll pardon me, I don't want to be rude to my radio listeners. I would reach over, and I'd go ahead and fire up. Oh, maybe we can get the old New York Times fired up here. Yes, we can. There it is. I'll go over to camera 4, sector 3 here in a moment, folks, and you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. But I was talking about news and how it's being reported, and I was talking about the rush that we have these days, the rush that we have to get information out there, and how often it is misreported. Well, the fact of the matter remains that news has never been all that accurately reported, no matter when. And I use as an example something that was one of the most glaring examples, I think, of the news media getting it wrong, and getting it wrong from a rather early point. And that was, as long as we're looking at the front pages of the New York Times, you know, that's what we like to do on the show here in our the later stages of the show, the Chicago Fire. Now, that happened in 1871. And if you look at the New York Times that I'm going to bring up here, if I'm ever able to actually bring it up, will I be able to do this, bud?
Yeah, I don't know. Big Mate's busted.
You know what? I think it's been sitting in the, it's just been, well, there's 1871. Let's try it one more time. So what happened was this. On the night of August the 8th, 1871, in the city of Chicago, I believe in the South Side, I'm not exactly sure when, but in the night of August the 8th, a fire broke out in, or I'm not sure where, a fire broke out in a boarding house run by a woman by the name of Mrs. O'Leary. And we all know the whole thing about the cow. Well, how was that cow? What exactly did happen? You know, because there was a formal inquest. There was a formal investigation into the cause of the fire. The people of Chicago by that time, even though it was the 1870s, they still had an apparatus for investigating those things. They had an official apparatus. And they were as concerned as you and I would be about how the hell did a fire start that burned half the damn town down, you know. And they weren't going to be satisfied with, well, you know, Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked the lantern over. Get out of here. Let's find out what happened. And the investigation centered on that house, and it centered on the individuals in that house that night, and they were having a party. It wasn't really a wild, crazy scene, but it was a party. They were drinking ale, and they were also eating oysters. And back in the day, in the 1870s, and I don't know where the hell they got these oysters from. You think they got them out of the lake or something?
Probably got them out of Lake Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, what are they? They're going to be like lake oyster. That's, man, you don't want to go near lake oyster.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Just, that don't sound good. Lake oyster's dumber than sea oyster. Remember you were saying?
Oh, boy, this is a new one on me.
What, man?
Phil was saying a lake oyster's going to be dumber.
I didn't say anything about lake oyster is dumber. I said lake fish generally are not as intelligent as saltwater fish.
Yeah, so didn't that stand a reason?
Well, okay, let's just say that lake oyster's dumber than regular sea oyster. What's that got to do with whether they taste good or not?
They probably don't. If they're dumber, they don't take as good a care of them. So I don't know.
Oh, come on, bud. I'm going to, you know, just because it's necessary, I'm going to have to punch you if you say one more dumb thing like that.
What?
Yeah, I'll be right with him, man.
What was dumb about it?
What was dumb about it? You know, one of the things about you is I've noticed this. You want to have something to contribute, and I appreciate that, bud. I really do. But you've got to think about what it is you're saying. Just because I say that saltwater fish would probably be more intelligent than lake or freshwater marine life, shall we say, doesn't mean that lake oyster is dumber and therefore tastes better or doesn't taste as good because, you know what, I can't.
Just go on, man.
I can't talk about it. All right. So.
Yeah, so you giving up?
Get out of here, man, before I start swinging on you.
You'll be sorry.
Yeah. In any event, back in those days, God, lake oyster's dumber. Back in those days, they would eat oysters, and they ate the oysters with milk. Probably in a bowl or something. I don't know. How would you do that? But that's what they did. So at some point in the evening, somebody left Mrs. O'Leary's boarding house and went around the side of the boarding house down to the stable to milk the cow. How do we know this? People who lived in the residence behind Mrs. O'Leary's main living space there where the party was going on remembered hearing foot traffic going back and forth between the front of the house and where the stable was. And even though it was Chicago and it was a big city, in those days, in every major city, you had animals. Animals were kept in the city for milk, for butter, for eggs, and so forth. And so the investigation centered on that. And I believe that they came to the conclusion that some dumbass was back there milking the cow and probably threw a cigarette butt or a cigar butt or something or something from a heat source or a source of tobacco fell into the hay and you had yourself a fire and the damn thing got out of control. It wasn't some cow kicking over a lantern. But in any event, on the 9th of October, the New York Times reported the following thing. The fire, no big deal. There was a fire in Chicago, and it's under control. And by the time we put the paper to bed last night, there was there was no loss of life. And maybe one person died, and that was from smoke or something. And the other thing we want to tell you is very little damage, and the earlier estimates of damage way overstated. And it's the fire's been contained, and the fire department of Chicago has got it under control, and was only about two square blocks, yada, 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 yada. That was it. That was on October the, I believe, the 9th in the New York Times. The next day, all hell had broken loose. And you look at the difference between one day to the next in terms of the morning edition of the New York Times. The next day, they got a huge map of what's been burned. $50 million in damages. Can you imagine what that is in today's dollars? $50 million. Banks swept away. Houses swept away. Businesses swept away. These are the headlines. The city is in such distress that they're asking for help. They're asking for donations. They need food. They need blankets. They need medical supplies. And, of course, Americans and people being people, even then, like today, everybody, you know, whatever, what do you need, man? All kinds of stuff poured into the city to help the people. But in a 24-hour period, it went from under control, everything's a beautiful thing, to a $50 million disaster, and Wall Street felt it. Wall Street took a major hit that day. Because there was so much trading being done based upon the money going in and out of Chicago, even today. So, you know, relying on the veracity and the professionalism and the news gathering skill of news people has never, ever, ever been an intelligent thing. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get the news yourself. Now, in those days, of course, there was no way of doing that. You had to start trusting people. So what you had to do in those days is you had to take about six, seven, eight, nine different newspapers and try to figure out where the hell is the truth in all of this garbage that's coming to me. And it took longer, a hell of a lot longer. The biggest thing about the internet is that today we can access multiple sources of news and we can find out pretty much within, I'd say, an hour to 2 hours, what exactly happened. An hour to 2 hours. No matter how fast breaking the story. Because there's lots of people looking at it, and there's lots of people reporting on it. And in all of that rush, there are some sober and confident and smart people doing their due diligence and reporting the news. It just, in those days, took a hell of a lot longer, man. And boy, did they butcher it when they butch, just like they do today. Only you can correct it a lot faster. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Should we get Bob Bakian back up?
Yeah, get back Bakian.
What? In any event, Bob Bakian next. On the world-famous Phil Hendry show, he'll be reporting from New Orleans.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Do it, man. My New York Times disc is not allowing me to go into the month of October. It's probably I need to clean off some of the pizza juice and earwax that's all over that thing from Bud.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Anyway, although there was kind of an interesting little headline I saw there, Brigham Young arrested for murder. In any event, on the day that Mitt Romney is nominated to be the Republican representative as the candidate of the representation of the thing for Republican of the United States of America presidential nominee, and they're like that.
Hey.
Thank you.
What that got to do with it?
Just ironic, that's all. No big thing. Brigham Young, you know, he had, man, they were out for him. They wanted him bad. They wanted him bad. I don't know. The Mormons have a history that is very interesting. I'm not going to say it is a, you know, I think it bespeaks a religion that also was very heavily involved in. By the way, Chris Christie, and I can say this because I used to be a fat man, you better drop about, oh, say 150 pounds, man, because walking out there, there comes a time, kind of like when Bachman-Turner Overdrive, you know when how fat they got? You remember that?
Yeah, sort of.
There comes a time when you can't be 800 pounds and be an effective leader. Yes, I can certainly understand William Taft. I think he was 900 pounds or something.
How much that guy weigh anyway?
William Taft was over 300 pounds. Bobby Smith, I don't know what his name was, Taft. President Taft was over 300 pounds. And I think Chris Christie it needs to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and hit up the Jenny Craig or whatever he needs to do. Hell, I'll get the weight off of him, man. How much have I lost? I got on the scale today. I'm 227. Man, this last 18 pounds is going to be excruciating.
You said you got to go down to 210, right?
Yes. I'm 227. I lost a big pound from last week. So this last 18 pounds is going to be hell on, or 17 pounds is going to be hell on wheels. I think I'm going to have to go out and continue my efforts at burning it off, you know, with the calories, because, you know, burning the calories off out on the beach, because I had lunch today with my my wonderful daughter, Catherine. We had lunch up in Santa Barbara at a really great place, and we had a couple of salads. She said, well, where do you want to eat? I said, well, I think it better be a place that's got salads, because that's my, you know, that's what I eat. So she picked a really cool little brew pub kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the like a brew pub, and I have food.
Yeah, you dad in Santa Barbara?
Yes, Santa Barbara. It was like a brew pub, and it was fantastic. I didn't have anything to drink, but she did, and I'm kidding. No, she didn't. Although it looked, actually, it didn't look all that good.
What they have?
Well, you know, call me old-fashioned, but am I really supposed to get excited over pomegranate brew? I mean, what? Why?
It's kind of interesting, the different flavors and stuff.
Yeah, what's wrong with that, man? I mean, like, if you drink regular beer, that like a barley flavor, right?
I don't know. It tastes like beer to me.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? It tastes like beer. That's what beer tastes like.
So you want your beer to taste like malt and barley?
Yeah, I guess I do. Yeah. Because I'll tell you something. I had that Tecate beer, I think it was Tecate, that had that lime flavor bullcrap in it.
Yeah.
Man, I would rather drink out of a toilet. That stuff tasted so lousy.
What?
Oh, that stuff tastes like garbage, man. That lime-flavored beer? Get out of here with that. No way. No way. So, you know, we went into this place today, and I didn't have anything to drink because it's the middle of the day, man. I got to work. I don't drink. I don't drink during the week. If I drink at all, it sure as hell ain't during the week.
Why not?
Because it puts you to sleep, because it just grogs up the day. I don't know why. I just don't, you know. But I did look up on their little chalkboard. You know, they had the little chalkboard thing that says, pomegranate brew and some other jazz. No, thank you, man. Not me. But they did have a nice selection, so we had a salad. But I was talking to her, and she was asking me about the diet. You know how girls are; they are women. They're always
I was going to watch the weight and stuff.
Yeah, and I told her, I said, you know, I've dropped all this weight, but I think I'm going to have to get out and do the whole jogging thing. And you know, women seem to be more conversant with health stuff. And why is that?
I don't know. It's like maybe they just are more, because they got to be, man.
Yeah, women always, everybody always talking about how they look and stuff.
You know, you're right about that. That's been, I guess, if there's a benefit at all to women having been viewed traditionally physically more so than men, it's that women pay more attention. Well, okay, if that's how you're going to look at us, then I guess we got to pay attention to our health, and they've got more information on health and stuff, right? But she told me, lower your calorie intake, and it'll be the same as going out and kick-starting your metabolism. And I said to her, you know,
man, that'd be tough.
Yeah, I said to her, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I mean, I'm every day since March the 19th, I've been holding myself to 2,000 calories. And it's all that I've been able to do, man. I'm telling you, it's all that I've been able to do to stick to that diet of 2,000 calories. And now you're telling me to drop it down. She goes, well, just down to 1,900, 1,800. I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I could do that.
Didn't you tell me one time you said 1,800?
Yeah. Yeah, there are some days, man. It was very brief there. There was a period there back in June where I would eat no more than 1,500 calories, and I'd go to bed. I was fine. I wasn't hungry. And I remember thinking, what is that? What's going on? Why am I not hungry? And I wish I could go back and look up some of those old... I do keep track of everything I eat, but I don't have June. For some reason, I lost June. Or maybe it was May or something, but it got cut off somehow. Anyway, we'll update you on all of that stuff tomorrow night, and everybody along the Gulf Coast listening to us tonight, bless you, and the good Lord keep you, and everything's going to be okay, and we are going to be back here, and we'll talk at you tomorrow night. And the rest of you guys, just, you know, get lost. No, I'm kidding. It's great to have you with us. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by myself and Dan Northcraft, me, Phil Hendry, and Dan Northcraft, and, of course, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here along the way as well. Get a backstage pass to all of the marvelous things we offer at philhendryshow.com, and that way you, too, can be a part of the BSP family, baby. Till tonight at 10 o'clock, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.